symbols of persecuting power. These symbols are prophetic symbols. Through the writings of the prophets, the Lord has used various caricatures to depict the persecution that will come upon God's people. For example, our opening text talks about the dragon. That's defined in verse 9 as that old serpent called the devil and Satan. The serpent is twisting. A devil stands afar off and throws darts. Satan is the mesmerizer. The dragon is the terrifier. In part number 1, we analyze the dragon. The dragon is first and foremost a symbol of Satan, all the aspects of Satan. He is represented as a creature with 7 heads and 10 horns. The heads would indicate successive manifestations of Satan through the ages, 7 being complete. In Revelation 12:17, he's against the remnant. Earlier in the chapter, he's against the woman. He is against her seed. He is against the people of God. So the dragon is that symbol that depicts Satan's hostility to Jesus Christ and everything that belongs to Jesus Christ. And he uses, as he used the serpent in the Garden of Eden, he uses various political organizations to fight God's people. As we see these various political organizations, we are to recognize behind them the manipulating ingenuity and power of the devil himself. In part number 2, there are beasts with 7 heads and 10 horns. Now those 7 heads, the note of part 2 indicates, might represent Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, pagan Rome, and the papacy. I would like to suggest that you study Education, page 179, and Lamentations 5:16. Ellen White says that the crown of Israel passed successively to Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome. And I like to think of those 7 persecuting heads as Egypt, then Israel, then Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, pagan Rome, and papal Rome. But you say, did Israel persecute? Sure did. Under Ahab and Jezebel, the total population of God's people on this planet had been reduced to 7,000. The total number of righteous. Satan had almost succeeded in gobbling up God's people. And so the 7 heads represent the successive persecutions against God's people brought about by Egypt, then Israel, then Babylon, then the Persians, then the Greeks, then the Romans, then the papacy. The papacy is described in very minute detail in the scriptures. In Revelation 1, we see the beast rise up out of the sea, peoples and multitudes and nations and languages, having 7 heads, but one of the heads has 10 horns, and the crowns are on the 10 horns. Now we understand that the 10 horns represent the tenfold division that followed the disintegration of pagan Rome in 476 AD, like the 10 toes of Daniel 2. And Revelation 13:1 describes a time when these 10 horns are crowned with dominance. They are regnant. From among them came a little horn. A little horn. Now this little horn, as far as I've been able to count up, is explained under 112 clues. I would suggest you take a piece of paper and study Daniel 7, 8, 11, 12, 2 Thessalonians 2, Revelation 12, 13, 17, 18, Joel 3, and form a picture that prophecy presents of the papacy. It is one of the most clearly defined prophetic symbols in the scriptures. The time of its rise, the fall of the Roman Empire, the ten horns, its development, its blasphemy against God, its persecution of God's people, its being crowned a king, then its receiving a deadly wound, 1798, and as the prophet observed it, this deadly wound was healed, 1929, when Gasparri signed a concordat with Mussolini and the Pope became king again. The first beast of Revelation 13 is the papacy, described in broad prophetic sweeps as rising, falling, rising again. Part number 3. The second beast of Revelation 13 is the lamb-like beast from 11 to 18. This beast or power arose at the time that the beast before it, the papal beast, received its deadly wound, 1798. So sometime around 1798, we are to expect a power to arise. Now this one arose in the earth, in contrast to the sea of the first power. The sea of peoples and multitudes and nations and languages, the earth then would be territory previously unoccupied. So around 1798, in territory previously unoccupied, a lamb-like youth, innocence, gentleness, power was to arise. It had two horns, but the horns were lamb-like, the horns symbol of aggression and defense. And the two horns represent a republican form of government and separation from church and state, civil, religious freedom. But then as the prophet looks at it, he sees a change coming about. He can hardly believe his ears as he listens to this lamb-like beast speak as a dragon. And the speaking is the action of a legislative and judicial authority. Great controversy. So legislatively and judicially, this lamb-like beast follows in the footsteps of the first beast, the papacy. Then this lamb-like beast causes, not only does it speak and legislate, but it causes, it enforces all to receive a mark. And this mark must be received in the right hand. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it. The right hand symbolizes what a man works, and the forehead what a man thinks. So in working and thinking, this mark might be received. And then, those who dissent will suffer severe economic boycott. They will neither be able to buy nor sell, unless they have the mark. And while this mark is being attempted to be imposed upon all, God has a seal, the Sabbath, that He is applying to the righteous. So those who accept the leadership of the beast and the image to the beast, the papacy and the copy that apostate Protestantism make of the papacy, The mark that they impose is the observance of the Papal Sunday. So there are two seals, the papal seal and God's seal. There are two marks, the mark of the beast and the mark of God. There are two days, Sabbath and Sunday. Thus the differentiating, the dividing factor is brought clearly to our minds. Part number five. While this is going on, the devil is not at rest. Evil spirits, fanning out into all the world, are bringing mankind into a threefold union. The dragon, the devil himself, with all the devilish, spiritualistic, paganistic forms of worship, the beast, the papacy, the false prophet, apostate Protestantism, combine. And out of their mouths comes out frogs. Ellen White likened these frogs to the vile literature and propaganda that flow from the presses, the book education, that defile the people of God. This triple union brings the whole world, the kings of the earth and the whole world, together. At that time, part number six, God's people are to be triumphant. That's the time they need it most. It's toward that time when the whole world is arraigned against the hated sect, when Satan musters the vast majority of mankind against the little flock, the trembling remnant, the bride cowering in the mountain, waiting for her bridegroom to free her from the terror brought about by the dragon. At that time, God's children are to be triumphant. To encourage us, the story of Paul, this autobiographical statement regarding all that he had suffered, brought to our notice. He went through more than we will ever have to go through. God made him more than conqueror. In Daniel chapter 3, we read of the image to Babylon, paralleling the image to the beast of Revelation 13. We read of the death decree for those who would not worship the beast in his image. We read of a fiery furnace seven times hotter than there ever was a fiery furnace, a time of unparalleled trouble. And we see three right in the midst of the fire, side by side with Christ. And the only thing that the fire did to the three worthies in the fiery furnace was to burn the bonds that confined them to this earth. And the only thing that the time of final trouble will do for God's people is to make them turn from any longing they might have to want to live on this earth, to live with Jesus forever. Psalm 91 will enter its domain. Read it. Neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Only with thine eyes shalt thou see. Thank God for the triumph of the child of God in the time of trouble in the last day.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.AmericanChristianMinistry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage you. Your prayers and contingent financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.